Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is your favorite type of music? Classical? Country? What else I hear? Rock and roll? Pop? Led Zeppelin?
Classical.
Counts as its own genre right there. What's your least favorite type of music? Led Zeppelin. You two are sitting as far apart as possible. That's brilliant. What's the difference? It's the same notes.
Just arranged differently.
Just arranged differently. Stop and think about it. If you're honest with yourself, it's just the same notes, right? The order changes. The rhythm changes. Same notes. I did this at the talked about at the sunrise service. A few people brought up rap, something they didn't like. Well, okay, I'll flip that around. How many of you have ever seen My Fair Lady? Or the 1960s Dr. Doolittle? Rex Harrison does not sing. You go back and watch those, Rex Harrison speaks rhythmically. It means he speaks in a rhythm with a certain way of speaking. My six-year-old's asking me questions. I'm going to tune him out right now. That's all rap is. It's just speaking rhythmically. It's really not that different. It's just different words. And even then, well, there's Christian rap. There's Christian hip-hop. I've heard it. It's all the same. It's just different notes in a different order. And yet, for some reason, some of it connects to us and some of it doesn't. Which makes no sense in some ways, because on that basic level, it's the same building blocks. It's like when you go out for Italian food and you say, I'd like the one that involves pasta and tomato sauce and some sort of meat and cheese. You know? It's all of them. There are no new notes waiting to be discovered. There's no previously unheard rhythm that no one has ever heard of before. And yet people find ways to rethink music and to re-explore it and to re-experience it. And sometimes they even go back to the past for inspiration. If you listen to the top 40 right now, you'll hear a lot of things that are based in kind of a 1960s doo-wop sound. It's a throwback. Some of you might remember in the 90s, there was this period of time where Gregorian and Benedictine chant was really popular for a while. There was a couple of CDs that were even released and made like the number one or top 10 albums for the year. Benedictine monks doing thousand-year-old chants. Music is plastic. I don't mean plastic in the sense that you can, you know, put water in it like this. But I mean, it's malleable. You can change it. You can play with it. You put it in all those different forms we were talking about. It can evolve, but the core still remains the same. Even you could take the same song and play with it in different ways. Speaking of which, Ben, you're on point.
What song?
Oh, either one. I gotta think of a genre. Beatles style 50s, 60s pop. Can you do that?
Maybe.
Let's see.
What song?
Either one. Let's see if we can guess. Same song, just arranged differently. Can you do folk? Can you please do it in blues style? but it's not. Right? But it's the same basic core. Actually, that's fair. Let's do that. Thank you, Ben. It's the same basic core. It's the same basic notes. It's the same basic song. But it's different. The call of the modern church is to create space for people to do something very similar with the gospel. Not to change it. It's not what I'm saying. But to claim it. To make it their own. To find ways to relate to it. To explore it. To experience it. To live it. To claim it. Not just to hear it, but to own it, to feel it, to breathe it, to have it be a part of you. There are what? Even in this part of the country, thousands of churches gathering today for Easter Sunday. Even in the quote-unquote nun zone, the part of the country with the fewest people who belong to congregations, the fewest people who claim any sort of church affiliation, still thousands of congregations today gathering together in worship. And almost all of them are using the same basic story. They're talking about Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. They are taking the resurrection story, and that is what they are focused on today. Because it's Easter Sunday, and it's what you do. But where they differ is on how they help try people, how they try to help people connect to that story and find ways to claim it for themselves, to create space. That's what it's all about. It's creating space for people in the 21st century to relate to a book written in the first century, to stories that are 2,000 years old or more, and yet to still feel connected to that, feel a part of that, to understand why it's still relevant today. So much has changed, and yet the core of that has not. Isn't that what the whole story is about anyway? It's about love. It's about redemption. It's about hope. Many of you, if not most of you, know about some recent decisions we made here at Bethel. Decision to reform the congregation, in a sense. Following much discernment and hard conversation and prayer, we came together as a community to figure out new ways to be a community. And even if that meant letting go of a building in favor of a community. We are not closing the church. I've heard rumors to the contrary. Let me squash them. We're not closing anything. But we are leaving ourselves open to the idea of reforming ourselves and being reformed by God. We don't know exactly what shape it's going to take. But we know that God is going to shape it. There was a lousy translation today in verse 9. When Jesus comes out of the tomb, he sees the women. And in the gospel today it said, "Greetings!" It's a lame translation. Jesus has been gone for 3 days. He's been dead. He comes out of the tomb. "Greetings!" It's like he showed up on their front step asking to borrow some sugar. "Greetings, neighbor. How are you? What's new in your world?" You go back to the Greek, you look at the word that's there. Better way of referring to it would be rejoice. It's actually the same word that's used when the wise men show up at his birth. They saw the star stop and they rejoiced. "Rejoice," he says. "Rejoice and be not afraid," he says. Keep in mind, as Christians, that we are Easter people. Death has lost its sting. We are told that by Paul directly. And we're told that by Christ through the resurrection. Look at the angel today in this story. What did the angel do that was so weird? If you read Mark, you read Luke, you read John, the women show up, the tomb is open, it's empty. But in Matthew, we have that angel coming all the way down, giant earthquake, shoves aside the stone, and then just to put an exclamation point on it, he sits down on top of it. I mentioned this to Sarah. She said it reminded her of the character Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream. The angel just kind of impishly plopped on top of the stone. Hey, what's new with you? Did you hear that death lost today? Did you hear the good news? This old thing, it's just death. It's powerless. You want some real power? Let me tell you about this guy I know. Be not afraid. As I said to the folks at the Easter Vigil last night, if the gospel can conquer the grave and death, that it will not be stopped by carpenter ants or dry rot. God's message of hope and love, and redemption and welcome can and will continue, and it will continue to be told through us. The story of Bethel as the house of God, as a place where God is made known, is far from over. And wherever and however we continue to tell it, we will continue to tell it. Christ is risen. Oh, you just practiced this with the kids. You can do better. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
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 Let us pray. Most holy, good, and gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather in your name. We give you thanks for the new life that we have found through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless us this day and always, to bless this community, to help us to feel your peace, to help us to know how to use your power for good. We ask you to help us to be a place of welcome and respite, to see in the brokenness of others ourselves. We give you so many thanks for the opportunity to be your hands in this world. And we pray all of these things, trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.